Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Flyer and Ice, brought to you by the Heat Ratio Sports Network. This is season 2, episode 9. We'll call it the Bob Kelly episode. Apologies to Miroslav Dvorak and Ivan Provorov. So, gentlemen, it is not easy being hockey people in Philadelphia the past 2 years. And, you know, my whole agenda for today's show was I'm not even going to discuss this horrible 13-game losing streak, the intricacies of each game. We could care less. They've been playing like crap, and they've been losing left and right. We were going to try to just delve into the what's wrong. We were going to put our GM hats on today to some extent. But some of what I had planned got trumped by the press conference today.
Sure.
So let's just delve right in. I'll start with you, Zach. Your thoughts on the press conference today?
I'm glad they called it. I'm glad they had it to do a state of the team because that needed to happen. The fans, I don't know. Do they want answers or whatever they need? But they needed an understanding that the ownership and the front office people get that this team is just garbage right now. But they did not execute well. This is kind of a mantra of the Flyers right now, especially when it comes to the front office. There were just so many embarrassing things said today. I'm glad that Dave Scott was there. He's not always available. And it was good to see, I guess, the de facto owner, even though he's not really, kind of, but of the team participate. But it only illustrated how much he doesn't understand the fan base of this team, the direction of this team, and the efficacy of the people that he's hired. And that's really, really, really frustrating. And then there was talks of a rebuild, and I'm sure that's probably on your topic list, where they don't think that a rebuild is necessary, that they're two or three key components away from being competitive, a championship contender. I'm not exactly sure. But overall, I felt even more humiliated for being – you guys both understand. I have to be a Flyers fan. I have no choice. I'm going to be a Flyers fan forever. And no matter how bad they are, they're always going to be the team in my heart. But it's only because of the Flyers team that existed before these two knuckleheads. And now I just kind of have to stick with it. And some of the answers today were more disheartening than any of the play that we've seen over the last 13 games, the Baker's dozen of losses that we've seen. And it was an example of the misunderstanding of what this city wants and what this team needs. And good for them, I guess, for coming in front of the media, even though I don't think they got asked any sort of pertinent questions. That's not true. They didn't get asked any follow-up pertinent questions. And today, for weirdly, even though they didn't play today, became the most frustrating and angering day of the Flyers season because of Dave Scott and Chuck Fletcher.
Now, because of my work schedule, I had to watch it on replay, and I got two-thirds of the way through. So here, Nick, here are some of my – and Zach kind of touched on some of my notes – Dave Scott, of course, brought up injuries. It's no excuse, but injuries. As Zach referenced, we have a very good core. We're not 3 to 4 to 5 years away from a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he kept saying the core is good. Mm-hmm. When asked about Comcast, he said there's been no change since Ed Snyder passed. Surrounded by great hockey people.
No.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know what, Dan and Zach? Yeah, okay, the injuries, they had to overcome the injuries. But he built this team, and he should have built it with more depth. Now, was the first 10-game losing streak, were we injured then too? You know, I mean, so look, you know, this is just a comedy of errors going right now. The compilation of these two knuckleheads standing up there with a straight face to say that we're not in a rebuild – you know, I don't know if they believe that or not. I really hope they don't, and I hope they're just trying to convince the public that this team, you know, the people that really don't watch every day, day in and day out and bleed orange and black, like Zach said, we're Flyers fans here and we have no other choice. I think what needs to happen is the season ticket holders need to stop going. And they need to send a message. The fan base needs, yes, I know. It was, you know, you're talking about 50% capacity and now he's blaming that on, you know, on COVID. It's ridiculous. that's just
that was
a
raging.
That is so laughable. Really, come on, stop. Does he think we're all stupid here? What is going on? How are you adamant that you you don't need a 3 to 5 year building plan?
I love when Nick is on because a 3 year, five year rebuilding plan, it needs talent. It needs talent like that can spot the great players that are, or at least adequate players that can bring them back on. Do you have any faith? I keep forgetting the name of the ultimate scouting guide, but out of the top 75 prospects, the Flyers have one, and it's Cam York, who has now been brought up out of desperation. So this rebuild could last until we're all dead. I mean, Dan will die first because he's much older than us. But it's not something that's going to happen just because someone says it happened. For me, it just seems like a legacy of just shit hockey. And it's because I don't think that they have the right people in place and the right commitment in place. And there's no pride behind the logo anymore. Right. And that's what's frustrating about it. They can just say rebuild or not rebuild. We're two or three components away from being it. But I when I saw those two men sitting next to each other, laconically just answering questions, I think that's the angriest I've ever been as a Flyers fan. Yeah. And I'm more than a Flyers fan. I'm part of the Flyers family. And When I talk to alumni that speak about this over the course of a day, it's for me, it's something more. It's like, I brought it up earlier. It's like when bad management let the old mill close. And I feel like that's what bad management has been doing. And then I saw the two bad managers today, and I finally turned against Chuck Fletcher today for the first time. And it's enraging that they still think they have such cockiness that they think that this is going to be a plan that they can fully execute when they clearly can't. They can't. And the Flyers, I feel like, don't even care if they really execute it because it can sustain based on just fan loyalty. And if they believe that, then Morganti brought this up last night. Why would you even bother playing hard if the only person that's being accountable was AV over the course of the entire season? He's the only one who's paying price for bad, bad hockey. And the GM lets that happen. The owner lets that happen. And the Flyers are still going to be probably profitable at this point because TV deals are just so hysterically huge. So we're in for such a long, like almost infinite era of bad Flyers hockey. And the bags were fun for a while, but the bags at least like showed some sort of passion. And I don't even think people are passionate enough to wear the bags anymore. I don't know what's going to happen because when he mentioned the core group, it was Ellis, Couturier, Hayes, and Farabee. Really? That's your core going forward. And you think that that's good enough? That was probably the most enraged I've been as a Flyers fan.
Well, I mean, Chuck Fletcher actually said Farabee and Travis Konechny are some of the better forwards in this league.
Give me a goddamn break. Are you serious?
I'm quoting him.
Don't
yell at me, my friend. No, I got you.
Goddamn ridiculous.
But, on the other hand, he said there's no question that they need more top end talent too. So no.
Yeah, of course.
You got the Spider-Man cartoon going on where everybody's pointing at each other. You know,
right?
I mean,
right.
Are we in? Now listen. I mean, rebuilding, retooling. It's all rebuilding or tear it down. It's all fancy word for. You need to tear it down and get young, good, hot prospects into this Flyers system. You've got to
interrupt you for one second.
Yeah.
Rebuilding means that he gets to have his job for another 3 years. Because means that, like, that, exactly. Okay, exactly. Please have patience.
Yes.
While I bring up the next group of wrong people into this organization. That's basically what rebuilding means. Right. Like, I would just, I'd like to make, you know, six figures for the next 3 or 5 years. This dude knows shit about hockey. That's what I've, the conclusion that I've come to. It, like, we all were expected to have a decent season. None of us thought we were cup contenders this year, but we thought that maybe it'd be playful at least until March. March. That's all we were asking for. I lived in Seattle for a while, and you know, I was a de facto a Mariners fan. It's like, if you could play meaningful baseball till August, then we'll just give you we'll give you a pass until next year. Chuck Fletcher is just now begging for, because he's just going to draft young players, ship off everybody else. Can we just please have a couple of years where you expect? He's stealing a book from the Sixers where you trust the process and I bring in new players. He's not going to bring the new players. I've never been less confident now in a GM than Chuck Fletcher. And that includes Ron Hextall, because Ron Hextall was just stupid and arrogant. Chuck Fletcher is someone who I just don't think understands what a good prospect looks like. And that's really frustrating. And the thing that he has the full endorsement of Dave Scott, maybe, that means this team is just going to suck. I, as excited as I was to see them on the same table together, by the end of the press conference, I was like, okay, these are the two men who are going to make this franchise mediocre at best for the next 5 or 6 years. Because I don't think Dave Scott has any intentions of firing Chuck Fletcher.
Well, that's how it felt for me as well. One of my questions later on was going to be, is Chuck Fletcher on thin ice? And clearly the indication I got today was no. But here's something I want to – that dawned on me, and I was kind of going through the lineup. And this is also part of the Hextall and Holmgren legacy as well, in addition to Fletcher. I mean, Fletcher's only had three drafts. Yeah. So if you name whatever you want to call core, whatever players they value on this team, every one of them, I'm talking about free agents, every one of them are first round draft picks. There's not one player on this team that's a second or third or fourth round pick that is sneakingly good that's in the conversation. Provorov, number one. Sanheim's a number one. TK is a number one. Lawton's a number one. Kutz is a number one. Giroux's an old number one. Every player on this team. There's no Braden Point that was a third round steal.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? They have no hits, home runs in the later rounds.
None.
In forever. Not even guys that you could say are, like, even Felix Sandstrom. You don't draft a goalie where they drafted him to have him rot in the minors. He's got to be traded for assets. So do they have even players that haven't been brought up that are even tradable? I mean, the guys they're bringing up are like the third, fourth round picks, but you see nothing in Jackson Cates. You see nothing in Bunneman. No. None of those guys are our future. No. So that's what's demoralizing for me. And it's not just Fletcher's fault. It's the regime before him and the regime before that. I see no hope, and you know, 45 years is just going to be 55 years. And like you said, Zach, I am the first one of the group to go, and I hope, and I hope I see something.
But I don't know why I threw that in. No, it's okay. I
remember when the Rangers, won with Messier, and it was 40 something years, and it was like, it took you that long to win a cup.
It was like 65.
No. It was like, it wasn't that
long. It was 1940 until 2004, right?
No, the Rangers won in the 90s with Messier.
Oh yeah, 54. Okay.
Yeah, but we're going to be there. I mean, it's like,
yes,
we're
forever there.
It's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, we've gotten to our share of cup finals, but there's no consolation prize there. Right. So, that was the press conference, and it's funny. You know, I don't know if I when I planned the show, I didn't know that it was scheduled. So real fast, we've got Adam checking in, and Adam, thank you as always. And real fast, ladies and gentlemen, again, we are Heat Ratio Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe. You'll check. We have such great programming that we're building, and we've been doing live shows at Steam every Tuesday. We did one last night that was a blast. Adam, one of the most loyal listeners, showed up to Steam a couple weeks ago. Fire them all, he says. Fletcher is worse than Hextall. If I was Drew, I would wait. Of course, we hope he does, and that'll come up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a long process when it's going to take a while. And as Zach said, the hope's just not there. I mean, the only thing that you could hope is by accident, they stumble onto something.
The draft pick that you want is not even going to come out this year. It's going to be next year. If you want like a number one overall game changing draft pick, I don't think there's just one in the draft this year, but
Shane Wright will be this year, and next year really is the one where you want to be very high up because you've got
Zach's referencing
Bedard and Michkov from Russia. I mean, they're both 1-1.
Screw that. You want Bedard? he's unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's the guy you want. So tank. Let's tank for a while.
But the problem is
Gritty will bring fans in.
It might happen organically, Zach.
The problem though, guys, and I'm sure obviously we all know this. So you're drafting, you know, other than Connor Bedard and Michkov and maybe Shane Wright, you're drafting. You know, if it's next year or the year after, you're drafting 17-year-olds. So, you know, it's still not an immediate fix. Like we are so caught in this like just cesspool of inept decisions right now that is affecting what we're seeing right now at this current time. In my opinion, you've got to trade everybody away, Dan. You've got to Provorov has to go. Sanheim has to go.
Save it. Save it.
No.
For later. We're gonna gonna talk about that later.
No, let's go organically, like you said.
All right.
But my thing is that, you know, the system, the farm system is not all that terrible right now.
It's garbage. I disagree. It's garbage.
We've got players like Allison still down there, Zamula, Connor McClellan, who's lighting it up in the Canadian Hockey League. Elliot Desnoyers is lighting it up in the Canadian Hockey League over, you know, in the queue. Bobby Brink is a rising star in college. Ronnie Attard is a defenseman that's going to be able to come in here and be dominant right out of the get-go. We still don't know what we have with Frost. We know what we have with York. We know what we have with Tyson Forster. That kid can play. So if it were me, I would just trade. There's nobody that I would, nobody I would say no to, including Carter Hart. There's nobody I would say no to.
No, I'd get rid of Carter Hart in a second.
About anybody.
You could get the world for him right now.
Yeah. When you say get, and I'm sure when you say get rid of, you think of, you know, yes, you're getting good value.
No, everybody. Like there's nobody in a Flyers uniform this season.
There is nobody
in a Flyers uniform next season.
Start the process.
All right. So, and definitely we will be building on what Nick has started building on. All right. So it's funny. You would say, well, one positive that comes out of this, and unfortunately I don't look at it like that.
Gritty.
Is this topic. Did the accomplishment of Yandle breaking the consecutive games played record give you guys any satisfaction whatsoever? For me, it was a fraction of time with the Flyers. His streak was compiled with two other franchises, and he's been a disaster since he's been here. So, and Zach and I have talked on multiple shows, if not for the streak, his ass deserved to be benched.
Cut.
And now that the streak has occurred, you would say, okay, have that conversation, sit him down. You haven't played well. You've been to minus 20 something for it. But because of the constant influx of injuries, he's almost forced to play. And I don't think they want to do it from the PR point of view because Phil Kessel's right behind him.
Who cares?
So I agree. Yeah. I just, the ultimate question is, does the Yandle streak do a thing for you? I'll start with you, Nick.
To me, I'm kind of torn on it because it is an incredible streak. I mean, you know, to be able to have that kind of longevity in the game that's probably the most physical game in the world, is it And you know, you look back and Yandel in his younger to mid career was an absolute star. I mean, he was just a pleasure to watch. But when you see what happened with him in this uniform over the past couple of months, you're absolutely right. If it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for the streak coming up, he would have been benched. His play was utterly disgusting. Like it was just, I haven't seen a defenseman play as inept as he has in years. So it's, I'm a little torn because it is a nice streak. You know, the Iron Man streak is, you know, it's something to behold, really, to be quite honest with you. But the way it happened this year, you know, I'm torn. I'm not excited about it. No, if that's what you're asking. No,
I got you. And Zach,
so my dad's calling me right now. Should I answer it?
Yeah. Put him on speaker.
No. Yeah. No, I'll call him back later.
All right. I was tweeting with Joe Watson, who please have him follow me back, for crying out loud. So I was tweeting with Joe Watson, and he, to Nick's point, let's put the poor play aside. Just the fact that he was healthy enough to endure NHL play. He played in the era where it wasn't the automatic icing, where he, you know, you had a race to the puck,
yeah,
and get buried behind the net. So from that perspective, kudos to him. You know, somehow you kept your body in amazing shape. You played through probably injuries that others would have sat out for you. And I say that we talked about this in Jess last week. You're like the only player in the team that survived COVID this year to keep the streak going.
Yeah.
Or maybe he played. No. But anyway, the point is, for that, I give him kudos. But we knew we were getting a defensive liability, and we would just hope he would at least spark the power play. And like you said earlier in the year when you did a show, we didn't project him getting a lot of minutes, but he's gotten a lot of minutes.
Too many minutes. You remember in high school, like people would get the class attendance award, and it's like, you didn't cut once. Like that's not. Listen, congratulations, Keith Yandel.
Right.
You have an NHL record in your name. That's amazing. Good for you. But there's a reason that players take a game off. It's because they're important. And they need, you know, I feel like the NBA has figured this out more than any other league. Like sometimes just sitting for a second, especially when you have a back-to-back or anything, you're going to play better. But he got it, and nobody wanted to be the dick that, you know, canceled that streak. So we've got it for him now, but now it's time. I don't know. It's weird because everybody knows he's an amazing guy. He's like Kevin Hayes' best friend. Like everybody loves him in the locker room, but he's a bottom five of all defensemen in the entire NHL. So what do we do with that? I understand he came really cheap, but and at this point, why not play him? Because who gives a damn about this season? But I feel like we sacrificed a lot by keeping him up. Like, who would you rather see on that third defensive pairing? Would you rather see Keith Yandel or Nick Seeler or anybody? And now that he's got it, I don't.
Zamula.
Yeah, I'd love to ring Zamula up. Let's see what these guys have. What sort of metal these guys have?
And no, I agree
at this point. Like, what else is he going to achieve? He has the best, quietest career I think I've ever seen a defenseman have. Like, 500 assists is astounding. But now it's time, I think, just maybe to let him go and see what else other players have to offer.
Well, the sin of it all is that if this was the team that we hoped for, you know, some of us on the panel predict them to be a playoff team. I just for ratings said they'll sneak into the wild card, which I really didn't believe it, but I didn't think they'd be this bad. And it's his streak, unfortunately, correlates with the team's bad play. And a lot of the team's bad play is tied into his play at times. So that's why it's like, it's a shame, unfortunately. As is the next topic. Because, gentlemen, the next celebration would be Claude Giroux playing in 1,000 games. He will hit this, assuming no injuries. two games before the trade deadline. It feels like a very bittersweet storyline. Zach.
Well, is there going to be any sweet storyline this year? You know, anyone hitting any sort of milestone that means anything as they lose a Baker's dozen at this point? And I know a prominent Philly commentator who thinks that there's another dozen in the oven.
Oy.
So there's going to be a few more losses going ahead. So my understanding is, and I didn't fact check this, apologies, but that the winless streak in the NHL is 18. That's the record. And that would come against Washington. So between then and now, I mean, what is there really to celebrate if Claude Giroux gets his 1,000 games? He's clearly, I always want to preface this, he's clearly a very talented player, but I don't know. I'm not a fan, and that's always been the case for me. I just don't think he's anybody who gets anybody excited to play for him or play with him. And I know it's up to him whether or not he gets traded. I hope he gets traded before his 1,000th game with the Flyers.
Well,
I know analytics prove me wrong, and I don't really care because I think that he's just not been a good captain. And that's just what I felt about him for years now. And I would hope that he gets a chance to prove himself on a different team, but he's 34. He's going to demand, I would guess, between $5 and $7 million next year. And I don't think he's worth that, but I think he's definitely worth for the Flyers to he's definitely the biggest pawn that the Flyers have to trade this year.
Absolutely. Now again, bringing up my past and Nick's my age. We're the same exact age. So, you know, so.
Nick, you look great for your age.
Age undisclosed.
Yeah. So, but the bottom line is Nick, I'm going to ask this to Nick. I believe that Bobby Clark and Daryl Sittler both got 1,000 games the same season when they were teammates. When we got Sittler towards the end of his career in the Rich Costello trade. We stole Sittler from, and Sittler did have 40 goals with the Flyers. So everyone says, he was a solid player. But I was excited. I was a kid, and then Bobby Clark, Daryl Sittler reached 1,000 games. A big to do. Gene Hart did his thing, pregame, you know, ceremony. So it's just, I don't necessarily look at Drew in a negative light that you do. Of course, you know, I think he's been a hell of a player. I did have my doubts about his leadership based on how the team's performed. At the past year, they were always like an alternating playoff team out of the playoffs. But, and Nick can attest to this. We had a guest on who is a scout and a junior scout who has, and I don't want to mention his name, but he has good friends on the team. And he told us some behind the scenes stories that in particular, the team hated Dave Haxtell so much that they played for G. The team loves G. Isn't that what was told to us, Nick?
He did say that. And that was coming from a really, really good source. A top nine winger now. Well, he plays all over the place. But, you know, today in the press conference, Fletcher had mentioned that he had some conversation with Drew's agent about his future in Philadelphia. And, you know, obviously we know he becomes an unrestricted free agent. End of March, I believe March 21st is the deadline. And he'd have to waive his no movement clause, but he was quoted as saying that they're going to continue to have conversations and it'll be Claude's decision. So, I'm kind of in the middle, Dan, with the both of you guys, Zach and Dan. I don't have a love fest with Drew, but I'm not on the other end of the spectrum either.
What's the point of keeping him here, though?
Yeah, there's no point.
I don't want to keep him. I think it behooves him to go Stanley Cup hunting at this stage of his career.
But okay. So, what kind of Flyer fans are you? Do you like ex Flyers to go on and achieve success, or do you want them to go on and fail?
Oh well, I didn't want to see Mike Richards do well. You know, to be honest with you, but if Claude Giroux.
Yeah,
goes to a team that I find likable. I'll root for
Knack was the first Flyer that I wanted to go on and see do well. Because he got bum treatment here. But Drew,
Mark Recchi.
Well, Recchi wasn't but Recchi came to us from Recchi. Another. He means homegrown, I think.
That's
right. You mean a homegrown kid that got traded, right?
Yeah. I don't mean Recchi.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'd love to see Mark Recchi succeed anywhere.
All right.
He's
so
a small little man. And he's
ultimately, you know, listen, don't strike me, Lord, for saying this. This is not a Ray Bourque example to a T by any means. Ray Bourque obviously was probably in his 20th year when he was traded from the Bruins to the Avalanche to get that cup.
Yeah.
You know, Giroux is not in that ilk, but again, listen, you know what? Tell me something. I don't know if this makes me jaded. If somehow Giroux works out an extension here, does he see hope in this team, or does he just hate change and love the city so much?
Right.
Now, if he waves it, that'll tell me a lot. He sees that this team is going nowhere. Yes, let me go to a contender. And maybe I'll do you a favor and hopefully bring you guys decent assets back. But I think he'll wave.
I don't think so.
Really? You don't?
Oh, again, that topic is coming up.
I don't see us getting much back for Giroux because he's just questionable. Like, what are you going to put him? You're obviously his contract's expired. And you're going to get him for what, 30 games? And what do you expect from him?
Can they do a sign and trade?
What would be a satisfying haul for him? A first round pick? You're not going to get that.
I think you got to get some good young prospects and a top six forward from another team.
Prospects.
I think a team.
I don't want draft picks. We need some bodies back. And you know, if you go to, you know, a team like Colorado, or if you trade him to a team like Colorado or Toronto, a team that's a cup contender that's looking for that one piece to put him over the top. I think there's enough depth in those systems that you can get one or two players in return in compilation with, you know, maybe a draft pick or so. But that would all, you know, hopefully contribute to the what we're talking about and just you know, a mass exodus of what we've got here and bringing in new blood. We've got to bring in new. You've got to get rid of.
Is Giroux a difference maker this year? Has he propelled this team into one particular victory?
I think no, but I think he could. I think he could be that piece to put a team over the top.
If you're already on the verge of it, I would agree. Yeah. Like if you're a Colorado or Toronto.
Yeah, that's who would target him. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, like in terms of keeping him here and this loyalty that some people have to him, like is there any reason to keep him around knowing that he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season? Is there any reason?
Well, no.
The only reason would be that he does not waive his no movement clause.
Yeah, he would absolutely screw the team if he doesn't waive it, and then.
But he'd screw himself more than anything,
right?
Well, he still can, but he could still sign it with anyone he wants in the offseason. That's the thing.
He could, but like I feel like he understands that he could really be a rented player at the end of this season, and that would be his best chance. Because when it comes to free agency next year, I don't know how many offers he's going to get.
Listen, he's had a
meaningful offers.
He hasn't had a bad year considering how bad this team is.
He hasn't, but like, are you going to want to spend what I feel like his agent is going to demand? I don't
know. No. Well, that's
35.
That's where they get the rude awakening when teams aren't offering him $4, $5, $6, $7 million a year. And you know how these guys still want to have multiple years. His best
chance for a cup is to be a rented player at the end of the season.
Yeah, and right. I ultimately think we're in agreement that he will waive his no trade and be moved. It's just, we'll see what we can get back for him. Listen, every question I have has been addressed. We talked about Fletcher's. I was going to ask if he's on thin ice. The answer is no. We talked about Comcast failure as an ownership group. Is there any chance they will sell this team?
No.
The answer is no. We talk whether you call it a rebuild or retooling. It's all the same thing for me. It's a teardown. The only thing I guess I would ask on this one is, will they tear it down this trade deadline and or the off season?
I feel it's easier to do it during the season because you can get more for players during the season. Like we have a guy like Ristolainen who maybe some teams will be interested in, and I'm ready to get rid of him.
Yes.
He looks so lost on the ice. I don't get. I know there's a lot of Ristolainen fans.
He's a free agent, isn't he?
Yes.
He'll be a free agent. Yeah. So, yeah. But there's another, he's the another type of player that someone might want to rent for a little bit. I don't know. When you start your rebuild in the off season, when you don't have substantial draft picks, and you don't have a great farm season, the farm system, how does it work?
A lot of it happens at the draft, that those type of trades.
But you get one pick that's actually meaningful, and then you get lucky in the later rounds. And, you know, the Flyers' track history of that has not been great. So I don't know. I'd rather see these guys get unloaded for something that's a little more stable, something that's a little more can be accounted for, like in terms of talent and in terms of something that can be played maybe next year. And maybe that it's not going to happen. Let's just be honest.
Well,
it's such a mismanaged team that it's not going to happen the way we want it to.
Well, Zach, our good friend Jamie Leach just texted me this.
Oh my God, Jamie! This very moment.
Sorry, just got to rub it in. Is it 12 or 13 games now? I can't keep track.
Jamie, you know it is.
Yeah, so maybe Jamie's.
All right, well, ask Jamie, how good were you in Sega 94? Because you sucked. So well, I used to try to play with you and try to score one goal.
The man got to the show.
I love Jamie.
So, all right, let's just do it, boys. Hold on, I always forget to do this. So I'm going to do it right.
Always have some introduction.
Oh my God! Come on, Dan. I'm going to fire myself. What's going on here? Jesus, Dan. How many things am I going to pull up here until I get it right?
I don't know. Fuse Barber, 20% off first service. Mention Flyer and Ice.
All right, what's going on?
Get a haircut? That sounds crazy.
Stop! Yeah. Yeah, speaking of haircuts, look at that mop you got going on there.
I know. I haven't got a haircut in like 4 months.
Yeah. Okay. We do know a good barbershop.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'll just mention you guys.
Nick, we missed you last week from what I'm about to say. But first of all, Nick, before we address this segment, who is this segment sponsored by?
This segment is sponsored by Fuse Barbershop, where Zach can go right online and schedule an appointment.
I'm doing it right now.
Right from his phone.
And Nick, what time is it?
It is time for the penalty box.
All right, guys, listen, this is a topic that I've been trying to get to, you know.
This is the worst thing about StreamYard is that the music always just cuts off. And it should just play a little bit under, like, when you guys come back.
Yeah, that's above my pay grade.
I know. I'm sorry.
Really.
I didn't mean to bring that up.
So I'm going to pull up a graphic about us playing general managers, and I have a lot of players on the list. And of course you can't trade them all. The only reason they're brought up is because I guarantee you every single one of these players has been involved in a phone conversation or will be. That is certain. So this little exercise is for us to gauge value, modest value, no value. And we'll just take it from there. All right. Can you gentlemen see the screen?
Yes.
All right. So I have first and foremost, the captain, Claude Giroux.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Nick reiterate value, modest value, no value. Clearly we don't believe he has no value. Nick says big haul, a couple top prospects, maybe decent draft capital in return. I lean with Nick on that. Zach,
I think modest value, as much as I hate to say it, because he's 34, because there hasn't been a great track record of success in terms of propelling your team into the playoffs. But when it comes to the Flyers, the other players that I'm looking at, the most value. But I don't know what modest value even means. second pick, a second round pick, fourth round pick. That's about it. Some return on the salary this year. Maybe that'll happen. Open up a little more money for the Flyers, but I don't see him getting a huge return. I don't think that any team is thirsting for Claude Giroux. I think that they would consider him a nice addition as they play the last 30 games leading into playoffs, but no one's desperate for him. I don't think.
I think a cup contender like a Colorado, or even if they need him.
No.
Well, even a team like Edmonton, if they finally get close to the, you know, they're teetering with in or out. And
they're not
going to
go for more offense. They want more defense. That's been their problem.
Well, somebody's going to make a play for him. That's just
yeah, I agree.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Now,
any more dollars than players?
Our next player is Rasmus Ristolainen, and listen, I was trumpeting him for 2 years that I wanted him to be on the Flyers, and I've been disappointed in his play. Yeah. When he played against the Flyers, you know what he reminds me of, and I hope you guys can appreciate this analogy. If you have any kind of a basketball background, when the Sixers made that horrible trade back in 86, when they got rid of Malone, they also traded the number one overall pick that they owned in the draft for Roy Hinson, who played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who played so great against the Sixers time in and time again. And we thought he'd be our answer to match up against Kevin McHale. Well, Rasmus Ristolainen always played great and vicious against the Flyers. I mean, he just destroyed us on the ice, body check after body check. He just annihilated our team. I haven't seen him have but two or three hard hits all year. I mean, he just hasn't played nasty like I thought he would. And he's been a defensive liability. That being said, maybe part of it is because, oh my God, I came from Buffalo to this. You know, it's like, maybe he just doesn't have any jump or energy, and he's just been demoralized by going from one shitty team to another. So my question to you, Zach, does a 6'3", 6'4", hard-hitting right-handed defenseman bring value, modest value, or no value at the trade deadline?
It's weird. Talking to Joe Watson is a big fan of his. He's the one guy that he'd like to see re-sign. So I'll take his. He knows hockey better than me a thousandfold.
I agree. But, all of us, yeah.
I don't know what he's seeing that I'm not seeing, because I've never seen a player. And this is when I'll go back to the coaching staff. I don't think that Rasmus ever understood his role here. Like, what are you? Are you a pest? Are you a physical, yep, like physical presence in front of the front? Front of the net, it just doesn't seem like he's really ever understood what exactly he's supposed to be doing here. And he came in with so much optimism. This was like, you know, late September, early October. We had Rasmus coming in. He's like, I just like to be a pain in the ass for other teams. And we're like, yes, this can do that. The analytics proved otherwise, but we saw highlight footage of him where he can be a bruiser, and it just hasn't happened this year. On a consistent basis, and obviously he's not a scorer, so I don't know what to do with him, but I don't feel like he's worth re-signing.
No. Do you think he's going to want to re-sign with this team?
I don't know. I mean, it's slightly better than the Sabres, I suppose, weather-wise. But other than that, why would you want to go from one lousy team to the second lousiest team?
Unless he's chasing the money and they feel like they have to pay him to justify what they gave up to get him.
But I wouldn't pay anything more than $1.8 million a year for him.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I know.
Nick, what are your opinions on Risto? Well,
I think, just on this topic in general, when we talk about value, I mean, the Flyers have to make moves and get better. So the player that they move on from has got to bring better value than what we're giving up. And obviously that's what you do as a good GM. That's your job. You've got to go out and you've got to make deals that benefit your team and not the team that you're trading, you know, to. So, you know, I don't think Risto brings any value at all. No value to modest value. So that may be why it might be conducive for the Flyers to either, either look at re-signing him or just let him, you know, go by the wayside through free agency. Because you're not going to get much in return for him.
No. Right. Well, that, and the only, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The only reason that he is mentioned is because he could potentially walk for literally nothing. Right. So, you know, maybe
that'll be fine with me.
Right. But maybe you get a third round draft pick from somebody.
Now, at best. Yeah.
So,
because he's got such a skill set, like he's big, he could be smart. I think that this is the one instance where I would call out the coaching staff, because I've never seen a player more unsure of his role than I have Risto for the Flyers in the past few years. Like, what am I exactly?
And we gave up a number one draft.
We gave up a number one for him
this past draft. Yeah. And there were some nice players, and there were some nice players right around. I think it was 18.
Maybe a one and a three, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And Hag.
What a mistake. Yeah.
Not a great trade. No, but we were all excited about it. Let's not lie.
Yeah.
More for Ellis.
If you put together Ristolainen's like highlight reel, it looks pretty impressive.
Just against the Flyers alone, like I said, he used to destroy us when we played him. All right. So I have TK on the board because he's pretty much had 2 years of big time inconsistency.
Yeah.
We thought he'd be the next Brendan Gallagher type player. That's a comparable that I thought when he came in. I don't see him being moved, but I see teams calling for him because of potential. Do you believe that is the case? And do they entertain trading TK? Zach?
Yeah, bye-bye.
And, okay, if bye-bye, what do you think the return would be?
Second-round pick.
Nick?
You know, I would definitely trade him, but you know, if it's a trade that can benefit us sooner than a draft pick, I would like to see that happen. But at the end of the day, I would take just about anything for TK.
Is there more of a fake tough player than Travis Konecny?
What was that?
He's just such a fake tough player.
Oh well, he's a rat. He's a Kenny Lintzman. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just he'll do this. He'll, you know. But when it comes down to actual grinding it out, he hasn't been doing it.
No,
and I get that he's outperformed a lot of players from the same draft that he came from. But to me, he's still underperformed.
No, I agree with you.
If he's here or not, then I don't know. There's no reason to keep him around if you can entertain a decent deal.
I thought he'd be a consistent 30 goal scorer, to be honest with you. And
I did too.
So what I would hope for is maybe there's a Travis Konecny version on the defensive side, a blue liner that may be change of scenery scenario for both players. And we get someone's disappointing defenseman. I have no name, just throwing it out there. All right. The next pairing. And I know this is a near and dear player to Nick, is Scott Laughton.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the same scout referenced that he has been underutilized on the Flyers. He didn't know his role for many years, constantly a third, fourth line player when he probably should have been a higher line player. I think he's a kind of guy that teams would seek, though.
I don't think so. I don't think he's the type of player that teams would seek, and I think he doesn't bring enough value for what you get from him. So he's the one player, and you know, this is not a big secret. I would trade anybody, but I wouldn't trade him for you know a bag of chips. I would have to get some value, and I don't think he would bring that. Therefore, I think he's got enough value on this team with his contract and his leadership and his style of play. And he's a type of player that, in my opinion, I'd like to see stay on this roster.
Zach.
I agree. Actually, he's had the most frustrating, he's what, just hit 400 games? And I don't think anyone's ever understood exactly what Scott Laughton can do. I would keep, he's still cheap in terms of contract. I think that he's experienced the humiliation of this 13-game loss more than any other player, just seeing his reactions and the way that he responds to the press after the game. And I respect that. And I still believe that Scott Laughton can be something decent. And I think he's better than whatever you could get back for him.
No, I think we're all in agreement. I think Scott Laughton has been. You talked about not knowing your role on a team with Risto.
Right.
This kid,
you know,
his whole career. And we've seen flashes of when he has open ice. The kid's a hell of a skater.
Yeah.
And honestly, and I hope I don't, you know, everyone talks about Coots being the future captain. I think this kid's more captain material than Coots, to be honest with you. Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
So, okay, so we're all in agreement. Oscar Lindblom, I threw him on because, again, God bless the kid for all he's been through. We're not talking about his character. We're not talking about his grit of conquering this illness. But I am not a fan of Oscar the hockey player whatsoever. No. So I think he has zero value. I don't think he's even going to be no phone calls are going to be made for him, in my opinion. I think he's just going to be a perennial third, fourth liner with this team. Thoughts on Oscar the player, thoughts on Oscar the future Flyer. Is he just going to be that third, fourth line guy for us for the next 3 or 4 years, or is he eventually going to fade away?
To me, there's no future on this team for Oscar. You know, if we're really going to rebuild or retool or tear it down and do what we need to do, you know, there are a plethora of younger players in our system that could do already what he's doing, you know, on this team. So, you know, it's a tough one because you do like, he's got good character. He's a great kid. He's a hard worker. In my opinion, you know, the skill set just doesn't connect with him and in this level. You know, we've said it was time to move on from him earlier in the season when we did our predictions. I think I said he would have between 5 and 8 goals. You know, it's just, he is what you see is what you get with him. There's no more developing there. So I'd move on whatever the value is. And I don't think there's any value at all.
No, I don't either. I'm assuming, Zach, you agree.
Yeah. it's tough because what a great story, right?
Yeah.
You know, everyone keeps talking about the nice things he does besides putting points on the board. And I don't know what those are. I'll love Oscar always for his battle. I think taking that sort of strength and then getting back on the ice is always great. But in the end, it just comes down to what you can do on the ice. And I don't know what he ever provides for us. You're right, Nick. There's no value for him. I don't know what we do with him at this point. There's no other team is interested in him.
Put him on waivers.
Imagine if he was our first line player, how bad of a team would we be then?
He's been on the first line a few times this year already.
Well, and that explains exactly what we are.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So the bottom left, the next four guys are all, well, three of the next four guys, I don't even know at this stage of the game. Justin Braun, I think, has value. Kind of to your point, Zach, where, you know, does Edmonton shore up their defense with a guy like Justin Braun? That's the kind of team that needs a Justin Braun. Listen, I couldn't stand Justin Braun last year. I thought he was just an absolute waste. But he has had some eye-opening hockey for me this year. He's been the steadiest guy on a bad team defensively.
No matter who you pair him with.
Exactly. He's like the like grandpa back there on the blue line, you know, like he's like a security blanket.
Yes.
So I think he definitely trade him, get whatever you can for him. You're not going to get much for him other than a mid-level draft pick just because of his age.
Probably.
But he'll be sought after to shore up a team that wants defensive depth, I believe. Now, the next guy I have on the list is JVR, because Zach, you hit the nail on the head last week. An absolute waste of a paycheck. You know, you said a streaky scorer scores, you know, 7 goals in 10 games, not 4 goals in 20 games. You know, he's he had that nice playoff run. I believe it was probably the cup year, and where he was just incredible in the playoffs. And then the next regular season started, and he was just mediocre. He went to Toronto eventually, put up numbers with them. But again, I always use the term Bobby Abreu numbers. I bet you his numbers with Toronto were Bobby Abreu numbers. Somehow you look up, he has 25, 30 goals. Were they significant? Who knows? Last year, he had a decent scoring total, but he just doesn't feel like an impactful player. He has no confidence with the puck on a stick. He's strictly a deflection, garbage goal scorer. I just don't have any confidence with him handling the puck when he gets it around the boards on the power play. He's a turnover machine when he gets the puck. His salary is, what, 7 and change?
7 million, yeah.
So I would take anything for him just to unload the salary.
I feel like it's going to be a Ghost of Bear type deal, like where you just accept some of the salary just to let him go at this point.
No, and you give up draft capital for them to take him off your hands. That's what we did with Ghost.
I don't know if it would take that much, though. Because I think that there's like he's a proven enough goal scorer, I guess, that some team would take him for obviously a salary break. But he's got enough of a reputation of having a good playoff season and having a good regular season that someone else would be accepting. But I would take anything for him. He's like when it comes to dollar for dollar in terms of performance, I can't think of any player worse in the league, honestly. And I know, Nick, you like him.
Yeah, I mean,
as a person, he likes Ron.
Yeah, we all like all these people as people.
Yeah, they're all good men. They're all good men, yes.
Yeah, we're stuck with JVR. There's no – no GM is looking at you saying, yeah, sure, we'll give you this for, this contract and this
player. That's true.
No way.
Yeah, we're stuck.
Hayes and JVR are just – I hate to say it. Say we're stuck with them, but they're here to stay.
They're
not getting.
How much longer do we have JVR under contract? You guys know,
Adam,
three more years. I believe it's 3 more years.
Oh Jesus!
Adam
signed that deal. Was it Hextall?
Oh my God! Hayes deal too. It was just.
And we have so many players that we love that are so bad.
Well, at least that was my concern with Couturier. I don't think he's like 5 a year now. I don't know if he's the 7 or 8 that these guys are at.
When you
sign guys that are 30 to 5 year monster contracts, you're going to get bit. All right. So Yandel.
Cut.
Yeah. Trade him for whatever. Maybe teams have the mentality.
Season tickets to a playoff team.
Well, the thing I'm hoping for is
you got to package him in there with when you're better players when you move him.
But also, I would think that a lot of these players are playing so poorly because they're in give a shit mode right now.
Right.
This team stinks.
That's even worse.
Right, but I'm saying it's always someone else's fault. It's not mine. And maybe there's a team out there that says. He's coming to a good team. He'll get rejuvenated and he'll help our power play. I think no value is the ultimate answer, but he's the kind of guy you gotta try to move on. And the next guy I have is Martin Jones. Outside of the Buffalo game, he's been a really solid goalie for us. Is there a team, rumors Edmonton perhaps, that would look to him to be a playoff goalie?
Can we make it more interesting and say Carter Hart?
Yeah.
Well, I can't do that because I get killed for Carter Hart.
But you're not getting killed to say you're going to trade him, Dan. I mean, we're getting killed to say we're going to trade a really good player and get like back up the Brinks truck with what we're getting in return.
Right. And truthfully, look at all the young goalies they have in the system that they drafted rather high.
Exactly. Like,
why did you draft Ersson? Why did you draft Ustamenko? Why did you draft Sandstrom? Why did you draft Roddy? Well, I can't think of his last name.
It's a very short resume, but Sandstrom played well. And Carter Hart could bring us – of all the players that I'm seeing on the screen right now, Carter Hart could bring way more than any of them.
Provorov could bring you a good return. I mean, I know we're not at that
– not to the level of Carter Hart.
No, no.
Well,
Martin Jones is going to get us another Martin Jones.
If we really are looking at a team that's not going anywhere in the next 2 to 4 years, you're going to have to trade players that you know are going to probably, you know, you're going to see people shrug their shoulders on, because you know, you can't get great return for a mediocre player. You've got to give up a Carter Hart, a Provorov, a Sanheim to get back some really, 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 really good assets.
Yeah.
No, like I said, obviously, I mean, Nick earlier in the show said trade them all.
Yeah,
Zach did too.
But what I'm saying, we're entertaining every one of these guys. Well, maybe not the Yandels of the world are gonna warrant a phone call from somebody. Now, Provorov, I have a Provorov jersey. I have a Provorov T-shirt. No one's been. You know, this year my eyes have finally been opened to the fact that my future Norris Trophy candidate is not a future Norris Trophy candidate.
He's what, 30 now?
No.
No,
he came in with the McDavid 25? Draft class.
Oh, he's only 25?
Yeah, he's with the McDavid draft class.
Okay.
26. So.
No.
So I think he has big time value, but. I think you referenced that an Edmonton type team, a change of scenery type of thing.
But what's he good at?
He's a solid defenseman. He's just not Drew Doughty like we thought he was going to turn out to be.
God.
Well, I think he's got enough.
I don't think he's the best defenseman even on the team.
I think he's got enough respect with other teams and GMs that they look at him as a player that. You know,
I agree.
It can contribute to it. You know, even like a Carolina, or you know, I mean, if you can get a Svechnikov in return, I mean, I don't know if you can or you can't, but those are the kind of deals you need to try and make. You know, you bring in a Svechnikov, you bring in a.
They wouldn't do that.
You know what, Dan? I mean, you got to. I think you got to at least make the phone calls and try. And you know, maybe there's a player unhappy somewhere. Maybe he's a bad, you know, locker room guy in that situation.
You're right.
I mean, in Carolina?
No. I'm just saying in general. Probably not on a Brind'Amour team, but maybe on another team somewhere.
You got to kick the tires. Listen, and we'll end it with Zach's favorite player, Zach's future Norris Trophy winner. Yeah. Zach, when Mike Yeo took over this team, there was a 5 or 6 game stretch where Travis Sanheim, the Flyers hope that they drafted, and he's disappeared again, brother.
I know he has.
He's just a guy that I don't know why he can't.
Well, he got beat so bad last. He got beat so bad against Islanders, and I don't know what to do with that, because I think Travis Sanheim has all the tools to be the cornerstone of this team.
But so does Provorov, and you just destroyed him. These guys, I don't think there's something missing. There's something missing with these guys.
I don't think Provorov has the offensive instincts that Sanheim does, and that's the difference between like Sanheim. The reason that I was such a big Sanheim fan when the Flyers were not good, but at least like interesting, he would pinch and make differences on plays, but also get back on defense. And I always wanted Provorov to be that player. And I never saw that from him as much as I did for Sanheim, again, over a very, very brief number of games. But Sanheim has just kind of retreated into just another lousy Flyers defenseman. Like, you know, first pairing, second pairing, who cares? It's not going to be a good outcome. But I still think you would get more for Sanheim than you would for Provorov. I think Sanheim has the ability to, when I said that he's a potential Norris Trophy winner, I kind of do believe that, because when I see him play at his best, he's as good as almost anybody.
But when he plays it, he's only done it
very rarely. I get it.
This many times in his career.
I get it.
He gets it.
Even Jurij DePita scored. Even Jurij DePita scored 4 goals in a game once. Okay. You know,
I get it.
And he was terrible. So,
but I saw Sanheim making more instinctual plays that lead to a great defenseman season than I have in Provorov. And Provorov, we've all just sort of accepted as this next stable defenseman that's going to be something that the Flyers count on for so many years. And I mean, does anyone believe that right now? I don't even see his potential as that high. So yeah, another player. Yeah. Get rid of him for whatever you can. Like, why are we arguing to keep anybody? No. That's the thing.
No. Listen, it's not that we're arguing. I think we're just saying we're just talking about how we each value the players. I think he has a little more value than you think he does, and I think Sanheim.
I trade Dan for Nick in a second.
Yeah, believe me. If Nick could take over some of my production, I would love it.
Oh, no.
I would love it. I'm tired, man. But ladies and gentlemen, for a show that maybe had three topics,
yeah,
we went pretty far. But
are we also Flyers fans?
Yes, we are. We are.
Yes,
we are. We are till we die.
I know. Isn't that the worst?
But
what else are we gonna do?
That's why I can't stand people that become Cowboy fans just because.
Can we do one more topic?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the gritty app, mobile app game.
Oh my god!
The what?
You're trying to get everybody even more angry than we were when we started talking about the press conference, Zach. Please.
Yeah, I can't. I'm like probably the only one in the world that can't stand.
I think anti-gritty sentiment is become more and more.
I can't stand it. I've never could.
Chris Kerrion is famously an anti-gritty.
I've hated the gritty. I hated gritty from day one. It's Snyder.
I thought it was good if that was like the genesis of building once again like this Flyers passion and this and if he could be gritty, we all love that word. I one player I noticed that is not on here is Zach McEwen, because I think we're all in love with him right now.
No, I couldn't fit everyone on the screen, dude.
I wouldn't trade Zach McEwen.
But the gritty thing, everything's just bad timing. I mean, gritty came about when this team basically has had two horrific years in his 3 years existence. They have no grit, right? Maybe they should have called him Dump and Chase. I don't know what they should have called him, but not gritty.
Well, shitty. That was
shitty gritty. Yeah. or Jake Jr. I don't know. He looked like Jake Borchuk. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, we've taken too much of your time. Thank you for indulging us. As always, we are Flyer and Ice. We are part of the great Heat Ratio Sports Network. I encourage you to subscribe, tap that bell. The programming that we are developing is amazing and might be growing some more. So on behalf of my good friend Zach Kinderchuk and Nick Tosti, I am Dan Green. Try to enjoy Flyer hockey the best you can. Stay safe and be well, everyone. Till next time. I don't know when that will be, but till next time.
See you, buddies.
Bye, guys.
See you, guys.